Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, this is one of my favorite chapters. The Lord used this in my life to encourage me and help me. As I grew up as a young person, I really was very introverted. I wasn't outspoken, kind of wanted to be in my own little corner. That was my comfortable place. But as I got older, I understood more things about the Bible, more things about the Lord, and I knew that He had something for us to do, which is to preach the gospel to every creature. And there's only one way that I can do that, and that is to open my mouth and to speak to people. And so I needed encouragement from the Lord and help from His Word to help me through these things. And I still struggle with it. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm still a quiet person. I still have moments where it's difficult. I get uncomfortable. And you've probably experienced that as well. But with the Lord's help, with Him, all things are possible. We can trust in Him to strengthen us, give us the words to say. And I'm praying that this evening, this passage will be an encouragement to you as well. But if you're there in Acts chapter 4, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. I'm going to read through several verses to help us get some context. It says in verse number 1, "And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them, is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was showed." We'll stop the reading there. I'd like to begin in a word of prayer. If you'll pray for me as I'm speaking, I would greatly appreciate that. Father, we thank you again so much for this time that we have to come together to worship you, to lift you up and glorify your name. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to hear from your word this evening, the freedom that we have to come together and to have this service. Lord, I pray that you would please open our hearts and minds. Help us to be ready to receive what you have for us this evening. I pray that you would take any distractions away from us and that we would just receive, not just be hearers of your word, but to be doers also. Lord, we thank you so much for the gift of your word and the gift of the promises that you've given to us. If there is anyone here tonight that does not know you as their Savior, I pray that they wouldn't leave without knowing you for sure, knowing you as their personal Savior. Lord, we thank you so much for all that you have done for us. We love you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So we're looking here in Acts chapter 4, and I'd like to point to you to a specific phrase in verse number 13. Verse number 13, it says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." They had been with Jesus. This was the testimony of Peter and John. as they were going about and being obedient to Christ's command, they were among people at this particular time who did not like them, who were angry with them, wanted them to stop preaching in Jesus' name, stop preaching Jesus and his resurrection. But they noticed something different about Peter and John. They said, these men, they have been with Jesus. Again, that was their testimony. That was the example that they had. And if I could speak for each and every believer in here, I would say that that is what we want our testimony to be. As we go out into this world and perhaps even among fellow brethren, we want people to see Christ in us. We don't want them to just see, oh, that's just Chris, just another guy. We want them to see Christ living in us and through us. That's what our testimony needs to be. We are supposed to be representatives of Christ, ambassadors for Christ. But when people look at us, who do they see? Often when they look at us, they relate us to someone else, right? I don't know how many times someone has looked at me and said, you're Joe McPike's son, aren't you? And, you know, that's encouraging to me. They think of that because of how I talk, way I act, different things, you know, the way I look. And I love my dad. I don't take that as an insult at all. But there's no greater person that I can be related to than my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as I go out into this world, who am I relaying to them? Who am I representing? Am I being the ambassador that I'm supposed to be? Peter and John have set a great example, and I'm grateful for the many examples that Christ has given to us. And there are things that we can look at in their life that we can apply to our own lives to help us have this same example that we have been with Jesus. So if you would please turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. First of all, I want us to notice that Peter and John obeyed the call. Peter and John obeyed the call. Typically, when we think of this word call, we're thinking about a call to be a pastor or a call to be a missionary or something like that. This is a different call. If you would look at verse number 18 in Matthew chapter 4, it says, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Jesus is walking by and he sees these men and he calls them. And specifically he says in verse number 19, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. But think of this, what if Jesus had just said, go be fishers of men? What does that mean? What is go be fishers of men? Well, I don't understand this. What are we supposed to do? Go be fishers of men. This doesn't make any sense. If we were to hear that for the first time, we would start questioning, what is this about? But Jesus didn't just say, go be fishers of men. First of all, he says, follow me. In other words, come be with me. Spend time with me. Let me show you what you're supposed to do. Let me show you how you're supposed to act, what you're supposed to say. Come be with me. Jesus is our greatest example. Out of all the examples that we can look to, out of all the examples that God has put in our life, Jesus is the greatest example that we have. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, it says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Jesus didn't just say, go do this, go do that. He says, first of all, come be with me and let me show you what you're supposed to do. And I will make you fishers of men. There is a process. I think all too often we like to just kind of skip over the process. We want the end result. But there is a process, and really the process is sweet because we get to spend time with our Savior and get to know more about Him and know what He desires us to do. And we're able to please Him. We must spend time with Christ. I know that's a simple point, but really that is the main point of this whole message. We must spend time with Christ. If we're going to have the example that we've been with Jesus, then we've got to take the time and spend time with Jesus. It's the same way with this idea. I married my wife about 3.5 years ago. It'll be 4 years in May. But if we went back to the day of our wedding and we set our vows, we go down to the end of the aisle and we look at each other, we say, this is great, we're married. Let's get back together in a couple months. We'll have a cup of coffee. We'll talk things over, see how this thing works out. It's probably not going to work out, is it? Why? Because I'm not spending the necessary time with her. If I'm going to know her likes, her dislikes, if I'm going to know how to please her, I've got to spend time with her. And I've got to spend as much time as I possibly can with her. It's the same way with Christ. If we're going to know more about him, if we're going to know what he desires for us, if we're going to know how to please him, we must spend time with Christ. And I don't want us to think that, okay, we get up in the morning, we spend an hour with the Lord, and we spend our time with Christ. It's much more than that. We have that opportunity, and we ought to take that opportunity to have those morning devotions, but we get to spend time with Christ all throughout the day. God gives us the promise in Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That means 24/7, all the time, no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, God is with us. But we have to claim that promise. We have to understand that he is with us and spend that time with him. We spend time with him. We get to know more about him. We get to learn things that he desires us to do. And then as we learn those things, we can be like Peter and John and obey the command. We not only obey the call to spend time with Christ, but we also obey the command when God gives us something to do. If we're going to have the example that we spent time with him, then we need to obey his commands. If we're not obeying his commands, it doesn't really look like we've spent any time with him at all, does it? One of those commands that we've heard already this week, and I'll just read the verse to you quickly. In Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The Great Commission. We're told in Mark 16, 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And in Matthew, if you'll turn there real quickly with me, Matthew chapter 28, I want to point out something to you. Matthew chapter 28. Beginning of verse number 18, it says, And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Even as he's giving this command, he is reminding us that as we obey the command, as we obey the call, he goes with us. We don't have to do these things on our own. He gives us this command, and I want us to understand this evening, and I know we hear this over and over again, but it's a good reminder. The command is not a suggestion. It is a command. I had many misconceptions when I was younger, and I would hear this command, and I would say, well, that's a nice idea. That's something that I could do. But I don't know that I'm not comfortable enough to do that. I don't think that I need to let someone else do that. But this is a command that he has given to every believer. No one's out of this. We are all to be obedient to him. This is how we have that testimony. We obey the command. We obey the command to go. One of the things I used to like to do is to invite people to church, and I would say, well, I've done that. I've done my part. I don't have to do anything else. I'll let someone else talk to them. And that is something that we can and should do, but it doesn't end there. He says, go ye into all the world. We're supposed to go. And as we're out in the world, we're not just living a moral life and having that testimony in that way, but we're also opening our mouth and speaking to them about Christ. If I just go and I live a good moral life, I look like just any other person. There are people out there who don't know God who live moral lives. The difference is we know Christ, and he is living in us, and if we tell them about it, they can know who Christ is as well. But we've got to open our mouths. We live that testimony, yes, but we also speak it. We're supposed to go, and then the very encouraging one, we're to go to everyone. We've already heard this week, but there is not a wrong person that we can go to. Anyone that we meet, we can give them the gospel. No matter how old, young, no matter what background they have, it doesn't matter. We can give them the gospel and give them the opportunity to receive. But how will they hear without a preacher? We must obey the command. Peter and John obeyed this command. They took it very seriously. As Jesus gave this command in verse number 8 of Acts chapter 1, they heard that, and then in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, because of those events, a crowd is drawn, and what do we see Peter do immediately? He starts giving the gospel. And then in Acts chapter 3, we see this man being healed as they're walking into the temple. And what does Peter do? He begins, because this crowd is drawn, he begins preaching the gospel. As God was giving Peter opportunities, Peter obeyed the command. What about us? As God is giving us opportunities to give the gospel, are we taking those opportunities? Are we understanding that this is something God has given us to do and we must do it? We'll only understand the need to obey these commands as we spend time with Christ. Pastor Sexton has always said, we do because of, not in order to. We obey because of who Christ is and what He has done for us, not because we need to gain something from Him. Okay, Lord, I've done this for you. Now it's time for you to give to me. No. Because of what Christ has already done for us. He laid down His life for us so that we don't have to go to hell, but we can go to heaven and live with Him for eternity when we put our faith in Him. Christ paid the ultimate price for us. Ought we not to give back to Him? That's really all we're doing. We're just giving back to Him what is already His. And again, we don't have to do any of this without Him. As we obey His command, we saw there in Matthew chapter 28 that He goes with us. We obey the call. We spend time with Christ. We obey the command. And as we're doing these things, people see the testimony that we have been with Christ. But not only that, it's not just that they obeyed. It's how they obeyed. They obeyed with confidence. And back in Matthew chapter 4, because they've been preaching the gospel, we saw that in chapter 2 and chapter 3, they've been preaching Christ and His resurrection, we come to the events in chapter 4. Verse number 1, it says, "And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide." So because of what they're preaching, these people come and grab them and put them in basically like a prison. And the following day, they're going to hold trial. They're trying to figure out how they can get Peter and John to stop preaching in Jesus' name, to stop preaching His resurrection. If I could point out real quickly, it didn't matter that they taught that Jesus had lived. It didn't matter that they taught that Jesus had died. Obviously, these things were true. Everybody saw it. But that they taught Jesus' resurrection, that's where the real issue came into play. Because if Jesus resurrected, then He truly is who He says He was. We cannot leave out any part of the gospel. Peter and John understood that. And so as they come to this trial, and again, they're trying to figure out how to get Peter and John to stop speaking in Jesus' name, they ask them, "By what power or by what name have ye done this?" Peter and John could have said anything and gotten out of the situation. "We'll stop preaching in Jesus' name. We'll stop preaching His resurrection. Please, just let us go. Don't hurt us." But that's not what they did, is it? "By what power or by what name have you done this?" In verse number 8, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost," he is not alone, "said unto them, You rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by Him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which was set in not of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." As you read through that and you kind of hear Peter saying these things, does it sound like he's questioning what he's saying? Not at all. He sounds very confident about what he's talking about, doesn't he? "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Where did he hear that from? Hear that from Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me." Peter was simply conveying what he had heard because he had confidence. They saw that confidence. Verse number 13, it says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John," that word boldness has two meanings. One is courage, and that's the one that we typically go to, and it does. We do need courage, and the Lord gives us the courage that we need. But it also has a meaning of confidence. Peter is not having confidence in himself and his ability to speak. You know, I know exactly what to say. I know how to say it. Peter is having confidence in Christ and who he is and how he's seen him work in his life. They saw this confidence in them. Because of that, they saw that they had been with Jesus. In the next few verses, they reconvene. Again, they're trying to figure out how can we get them to stop speaking in Jesus' name. And the only thing they can figure out is just tell them to stop. But in verse number 19, Peter and John answered and said unto them, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." Because Peter and John had spent time with Christ, because they had seen Christ work, they'd seen the miracles, they'd seen, heard his teachings, they saw him die on the cross, they saw him rise again. But not only that, even after he left this earth, he gave them the Holy Spirit. He is still continually working in and through them. As they spend time with him, they see Christ's work. And their confidence just grows and grows and grows. And because of that, because the things that they had seen and heard, they could say nothing else but speak about Christ. They couldn't help it. That's all they could talk about. Because they had spent time with him. Again, what about ourselves? Are we spending time with Christ? Because as we spend time with him, the more confidence we'll have in him. And the more confidence we'll have in him, the more we'll want to speak about him. It's hard to talk about something or someone that you don't spend any time with, isn't it? Because you know nothing about them. We must spend time with Christ. I'd like to show you a couple more verses. Starting in Luke chapter 1, if you want to go ahead and turn there. Luke chapter 1, and then we'll go to 1 John chapter 5. I'm thankful for the Word of God. The truths that God gives to us, the promises that He gives to us, and the fact that we don't have to doubt. We don't have to wonder. Verse number 1 of Luke chapter 1. "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most assuredly believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." Again, look at 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 13. It says, "These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." I wanted to point these two passages to you because they say something very clearly. And that is that we can know. We can have certainty. We don't have to wonder. We don't have to doubt. Can we truly have salvation? Can we truly walk with the Lord? Yes. But how do we know those things? How do we have certainty? What does it say right before that? "These things I write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. These things I write unto thee that thou mightest know." We'll only know these things. We'll only be able to have the certainty, the confidence, the faith. As long as we're spending time with Christ, we're taking the time to get to know Him. We have many opportunities. Again, we have that time of devotion in the morning. We have the time to come to church, to hear the preaching of the Word of God, to hear the teaching of the Word of God. We have the times to study our own and to memorize the Scripture and to walk with God all throughout the day. We have ample amount of time, but are we taking that time? Are we walking with Christ? Day in, day out. As we spend time with Christ and allow Him to work in our lives, and we obey those commands, we can speak about Him confidently. And we have that testimony of Christ living in us. But we must spend time with Christ. And I hope we understand that. I know that's a very simple point, but it's honestly something that we often forget. I'm going to close in a word of prayer, and Pastor, if you'll finish this out. Father, again, we thank you for this time. I thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you for the truths that you've given to us and this opportunity that we have to see your example and to follow you. Lord, I'm grateful that we don't have to go through life just trying to figure out what to do, but that we can watch you and see you work in our lives and be obedient to your word. Lord, if there is anyone here tonight that needs to make a decision, I pray that you would convict them. Convict me, Lord. Help me to follow you, to do your will. Help us to spend more time with you and to be the faithful witnesses that you've called us to be the light in this world that you've called us to be, that they may see you and glorify you. Lord, I'm grateful for everything that you've done for us. Please forgive me where I fail you. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.
Amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, Miss Joe's going to come to the piano. Just in the quietness of the moment, can people tell that you have been with Christ? That's Acts 4:13. That's the message tonight. They were ignorant and unlearned men. At least that's the way people perceive them. But they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Do people know that you have been with Christ? And by the way, it's not something you can fake. If you spend time with Christ, people will know it. So maybe tonight in our hearts, we would say, Lord, I do not spend as much time with you as I should. I spend more time on my phone. I spend more time on Fox News. I spend more time on ESPN. I spend more time on Instagram. I spend more time on Facebook. I spend more time on Xbox. I spend more time on things that have no eternal value than spending time with you. Let's stand to our feet tonight if we could, with heads bowed and eyes closed. Invitation is for all of us tonight. First of all, believer, if you need to come, come. If you need to come and say, Lord, I need to spend more time with you. Secondly, dear friend, if you're here tonight and you do not have confidence that you're saved, Brother Chris took us to 1 John chapter 5, verse number 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may have confidence in the name of the Son of God based on what has been written, based on the Word of God. And if you're here tonight and you don't know Christ and you don't have confidence in your eternity, you need to come tonight. You need to come and say, Pastor, I'm not sure when death takes me or when the Lord comes back, I'm not sure if heaven is going to be my home or hell. Pastor, I'm just not sure. Because the truth is tonight, you can be sure. I'm thankful tonight that I'm a Tennessean. I'm thankful tonight that I am a smart. But do people know me more as that than they do as, hey, he's a Christian and he has been with Jesus and he spends time with Christ? And it exudes from who he is that he has spent time with Christ. I'm thankful tonight that our measuring stick is not another individual. Your measuring stick is not me. My measuring stick is not you. Our measuring stick is the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is who we're supposed to be like. May God help us to be so. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Amen. You can be seated tonight, and we want to do something real quickly. The praters are leaving in the morning, and so